From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. It's the second hour of the show. That means we get to do the news roundup. Now, if you are new to the show, one, I'd like to say welcome. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. Here's what we do in the news roundup. We look back on all the other shows. I don't know if you guys know this, but, you know, there are more shows on Cairo Radio than just my show. Now, I find it a very big compliment that you think that the sun rises and sets with my show. That's great. I'm super happy about that. But we actually have a lot of other great programming. Like, for instance, there's this guy named Dave Ross. He does a show every morning on Seattle's Morning News. That's followed up by G and Ursula from 9 to noon. From noon to 3, you got Jack and Spike. And then from 3 to 7, you have John Curley and Sherry Elliker, who I love. Couldn't get enough of them. I fill in on all those shows. So if you get a chance to hear me on one of those other shows, it's a blast. I'm always privileged to do it. It's a lot of fun. And then you have my little show here from 7 to 10, which is, I thank you guys so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. We just got some ratings in. And I just want to say really fast, a sincere thank you to this audience, because you guys are a wonderful audience. I appreciate that you guys are tuning into the show, and I hope that you know that we are working our butts off to bring you a good show every single night here from 7 to 10. So that is an honor, that is a privilege for us, and I hope that you understand how seriously we take that, how seriously we take having fun, which is what we want the show to be, which is a fun show. All right, with all that said, now that I got my groveling butt-kissing out of the way, thank you. Good ratings, thank you guys for that. Now that I got all that out of the way, we got the news roundup. And the news roundup's really fun. We look back on all the other shows. We talk about what they were talking about. Let's start with Seattle's Morning News. They're talking about employers. They're talking about ChatGPT, which is AI, which I'm very nervous about. Is ChatGPT like actually hiring people to work now? Let's find out about it.
Here's the headline, folks. Half of business leaders say ChatGPT experience is more valuable than a college degree.
Yeah.
Now, that's some headline. So can you shed some light? What's the context of
this? Yeah. So for people who don't know what ChatGPT is, it is an artificial intelligence. It's an AI tool. It can help you answer questions. It can assist you with writing. It can assist you with composing emails, essays, and it can actually help you code. Now, we are not allowed to use ChatGPT here at Cairo News Radio or in the building, but a lot of people are using it at work. I used it this morning, actually, to help me write an email that sounded snarky.
Oh.
And I needed it to kind of soften the Ooh. Edges, because when I went back and read it right before.
All right, I haven't heard these clips. I'm listening for the first time with you guys. So it sounds like what they're actually saying is ChatGPT is hiring these people, which makes sense. That would be ridiculous. What it sounds like they're saying is that employers are interested in people who know how to interface with ChatGPT. So what they're looking for is, I mean, this just seems kind of crazy to me, actually. It sounds like what they're looking for is somebody who knows how to get the most out of ChatGPT, because employees don't really need to know how to do those things anymore. As long as they know how to ask ChatGPT, then that's all that they need.
I hit send. I went, oh no, that just sounds mean and punchy.
So what do you code into ChatGPT? Do you say, take the snark out of my email?
Yeah, it gives you different opinions. Make it more heartfelt.
Huh. Okay,
the one
I
chose.
Know
yeah.
who you were being snarky to.
Oh.
Like, can we like give me that?
That would explain the email this morning.
No, it wasn't to you.
Getting sidetracked. Okay,
no,
good.
No. I just, you know, I have, you know,
we can transition you. We can right. Go ahead.
No,
back to the story.
I have a side hustle, and somebody wrote back and just said, I don't have time. So then ChatGPT actually helped me write something that was very nice and okay, good. Take care of yourself. Be nice and not be snarky. But anyway.
So they're looking for people who know how to use ChatGPT. Here's would be my, I call these Jake takes, right? You can start calling them that too if you're interested. They're called Jake takes. It's like a hot take, but it's, I use my name, which I think is really clever marketing. So here's my take on this. I find this very odd that a company would be looking for somebody who knows how to use ChatGPT, because eventually what that would tell me is that eventually what this company would rather be able to do is just have ChatGPT doing that job. I have talked to many, many people, Mickey Gomez included there. Mickey's in that clip, who have used ChatGPT extensively and who now seamlessly use this in their everyday lives. My brother is somebody who he manages a bunch of people. He's constantly having to send emails and do all these things to, disseminate information to people who work for him. And he finds that the best way to do that is to basically tell ChatGPT, he's like, all right, here's the information I need to get down to my people and write this in a way that makes it sound friendly. And then you don't have to put any more thought into it. So for those reasons, I think that sounds really cool that ChatGPT can do that. But I also would wonder, like, could a company just hire a middle manager who is just ChatGPT? Like, is ChatGPT eventually just going to have like a middle management setting where the person running the company just says, hey, ChatGPT, manage these people and do it in a way that sounds like happy. Like maybe a person offsite who they're never going to meet we don't even need to let them know that it's ChatGPT. It's just call this middle manager Kevin, and Kevin in accounting or Kevin in HR would like to send you this thing that, you know, whatever. Like, is that what ChatGPT is going to be eventually? I don't see why not. And then that's where it starts replacing people. And that is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I don't think it's a great thing, but who knows? We'll see. All right. G and Ursula, they were talking about IQ tests. Let's hear about it.
Slate says that for generations, intelligence tests have played a large role in America, mm-hmm. helping at times to control who can join the military and at what rank, who can enroll in the nation's most elite private schools, and even who can be executed under the law. They've also played a large role in public schools, helping to determine from the earliest grades who can access extra help and accelerated learning, and who can reap the benefits of high expectations. Part of the point of this article that they're trying to make is that we test kids, right, early and often in schools to determine, okay, is this the kid that is going to be going to the special needs class where we're teaching life skills, or is this the kid who is really smart and they're going to go on the high capacity learning program?
I don't think a standard test. Maybe you can have someone take it, but that shouldn't be the only criteria. Correct. There should be more.
I totally agree. And especially if you're going to base, someone's future trajectory on one particular test. I mean, I think there's whether it's they're going to be going, the genius route, or they're going to be going, they can only work blue collar jobs or whatever it is. I think it's just you're determining that way too early and based on only one thing. And if in an IQ test, you know, people in your life who are incredibly smart and that they've got a genius IQ, but they would not survive a day on their own because they just lack life skills or just don't have practical sense. Like, you know people like that, right? And then there are other people who, okay, they never did well in school, but they might be the smartest person you know.
You know what? Also, there's other people out there who aren't super smart, but because of the situation that they find themselves in life, or their experiences in life, they just have, like, I know a ton of people, I wouldn't say a ton, but I know some people who have had great, great, great success, even though they're kind of dummies.
I'm not a smart man. But I know what love is.
That was a long way around for a Forrest Gump joke. But no, it's true. Really, honestly, like, there are people in life who they have life experience, which then equates to success. And they just know how to navigate, either because that life experience has taught them about navigating people, which is a huge thing that I'm trying to teach my kids. Like, if you know how to interface with people, if you're comfortable, dealing with all different kinds of attitudes. Number one, like the number one factor that I could think that would actually determine somebody's success level. I don't know that this is actually true, but this would seem to be true to me. Somebody who has a really strong work ethic and also a good attitude. I find that the people who I have seen have the most success in life generally also figure out how to have a really good attitude about whatever it is that they're doing. So either you're welding or you are running a law firm. If you're also a person who can manage to have a good attitude about it and can be upbeat, that goes a really long way in making other people feel like, all right, this is a person I can follow. This is a leader. They have leadership skills. This is a person that I want to root for. This is a person, if you have a good attitude, like, this is a person who I want to give opportunities to. Attitude, it just works so many ways in your favor. I can't even tell you how valuable it is. And so I'm trying to teach my kids, like, listen, no matter what situation you find yourself in, attitude is the thing that people who you're trying to get jobs from, especially when you're trying to like climb your way up the ladder, attitude is king. People love young people with good attitudes. They just do. They love them. My grandpa had this thing that we now talk about in our family. When my grandpa passed, everybody passes away. But when my grandpa passed away, it was kind of sudden, and they discovered that he had cancer. And so he didn't have long with us. He only had a few months from the time they discovered his cancer to the time that he passed away. And so when they were clearing out his desk in his office downstairs in his house, they were kind of like, you know, just like tidying up and doing some stuff, just like looking over his stuff. And they found a notepad. And on that notepad, he had written three things, which were really just like, looking back now, I just go, oh man, I love that guy. Just like so wonderful. Number one was a happy wife. So his focus, number one focus was like these, and these were goals for his year. Number one was a happy wife. So he wanted to make sure that my grandma was well taken care of and that she was feeling fulfilled and happy in life. So happy wife, that's a good one. You want your partner to be happy. Number two, and your life is easier when your partner's happy. Number two, and this is a long way from IQ test, so I apologize. I'm kind of rambling here, but this is what it made me think of. So I'm just going to share it with you. Number two, he wanted to make sure that they were in good finances, you know, house paid off, all these different things. My grandpa passed away. I think he was 72 when he passed away. So he wanted to make sure that their house was paid off that year so that, again, they wouldn't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. And number three was top attitude. We have taken that and run with that in my family as being like, all right, always make sure no matter what situation you are presented with, no matter where you are at in life, you can control your attitude. And if you can control your attitude, then you have a better chance of getting the outcome that you want. Because I'll tell you what, we all know what it's like to be around somebody who's got a crappy attitude. And we all know that we are not bending over backwards to like go out of our way to give that person opportunities. Because bad attitudes stink and they're no fun to be around. And they actually like suck up your energy dealing with somebody whose attitude stinks. So I would say good attitude is a huge determiner, is huge in determining what kind of success you're going to have in life. Like IQ tests, I don't know how much faith I put in IQ tests or whether or not they matter too much. I will say that I know that with colleges, recently, colleges tried to take away some of the SATs. A lot of colleges. It became really popular for like a year and a half for colleges to say, "Hey, we're no longer going to use SATs to determine what kind of students that we admit to these schools." And what they found was that the SAT, while an SAT may not determine how successful you are later in life, what an SAT actually does a pretty good job of determining is where you are at right now in relation to how successful that you will be at that specific school. So somebody who scores really high on your SATs and they apply at, say, Harvard, they would go, hey, this person got a near perfect score on their SATs. They have a pretty good shot of being successful here in our campus community, which means that when they come here and they get a student loan or whatever they're going to do, because colleges are insanely expensive, these are six-figure yearly colleges now. If you're going to spend that kind of money, we would like to know that you are not going to be just spending that money in vain. We think that you have a fair to middling chance of actually graduating successfully from our school. And so these tests sometimes are really useful in helping determine how successful somebody's going to be at these colleges. So I understand IQ tests for those reasons, but for, yeah, little kids, I don't think you need to be taking a bunch of IQ tests. All right, Jack and Spike, how long is too long to wait for your food at a restaurant?
This is my rule of thumb when it comes to life. And ever since I have adopted this rule, I have had nothing but joyous interactions when it comes to food.
Okay.
If I have to wait, I am not eating there.
Really?
Flat out.
Really?
If I have to wait more than max 15 minutes.
To get a table,
I'm
you mean?
Not waiting.
Okay.
I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting in a drive through. If, oh, it's an hour of wait for this Korean place, no, but it's so worth it. No, yeah. I value my life essence more than I value waiting in line for kimchi or whatever it is.
Do you appreciate good experience dining? Like, for example, first class service.
Like Daniel's?
Yeah, yeah. Right? Yeah, good experience dining.
Not for me. Like a good restaurant is really in the meal, right? Like
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, me too.
It's kind of like you could have all kind of kitschy stuff on the walls. Like you could have like you know the ties that have been cut in half, and you know trikes from 1930.
Right,
and
right.
You could have a radio flyer up there. It's all rusted out. But if the food's fine, I'm totally fine to be there. But since I stopped eating carbs, I basically can't eat anywhere because all Americans eat is carbs all day. So
you know, I've been in New Orleans maybe a half dozen times. In my life, and the very best food in New Orleans comes from the dingiest, diviest little hole in the wall restaurant where the people's been that guy's been cooking on that same grill for 30 years.
I hate waiting a long time for food. I hate it, drives me crazy. I don't like it. If I wait a long time somewhere, I'm not going back. Just I'm not going back unless it's really good and it's worth the wait, in which case, happy to wait. All right, John and Sherry, they were talking about people who are unhappy with your major party candidates. Who are you going to vote for this year? Anyone else? Anybody else? Oh, that's what it is. Oh, are you going to vote for anybody else?
Running for president.
How y'all doing?
Isn't easy.
Are they doing it?
But a catchy name.
Literally anybody else? Yeah. That's my name.
Is a start.
Hey. Hey, how's it going?
So what do I call you? Mr. Else?
No, he's not joking.
My name is literally anybody else, and I'm running for president of the United States.
And it says so right here on his Texas license.
You know, it's not necessarily about me as a person, but it's about literally anybody else as an idea.
Literally anybody else is a seventh grade math teacher from North Richland Hills, Army veteran.
Howdy, sir.
A 35-year-old now running for president in his first year of eligibility.
Donald Trump. Joe Biden, they're under it would be literally anybody else.
And the reason why?
300 million people, we can do better.
You might find relatable.
There really should be some outlet.
Not that many voters, but anyway.
For folks like me who are just so fed up with this constant power grab between the two parties that just has no benefit to the common person.
Before he was Mr. Else, he was Dustin Eby in the eyes of the state, a voter with centrist beliefs and wholly dissatisfied with the current candidates Republicans and Democrats are offering for the White House in November. So he changed his name and began his candidacy.
Who are you voting for?
Kind of as a protest.
Literally anybody else for president. It's a real item.
Statistically, Mr. Else doesn't stand a chance. In Texas, just to get on the ballot as an independent, he needs more than 113,000 signatures from non-primary voters by mid-May. But winning, not really the point. In his mind, it's a statement about the current state.
We don't have a neither option on the ballot, and this kind of fills that role.
Y'all take care.
In Dallas, I'm Matt Howerton.
Okay. With literally anybody else.
All right, that's kind of funny. It reminds me, do you guys remember on a movie called Brewster's Millions back in the 80s? One of my favorite movies. Richard Pryor, John Candy. Really, really funny. He's trying to figure out how to waste a bunch of money to get a big inheritance, but he can have nothing to show for it after 30 days of spending money. It's kind of a convoluted plot, so I'm not going to describe the whole plot for you right now. But one of the big ways that he figures out he can waste a lot of money and have nothing to show for it is to run for political office. But again, he can't have anything to show for it, so he runs as none of the above.
Could you please give us your reasons for your sudden and unexpected candidacy?
I figure voting for Salvino or Heller is just as silly as them running for office, which is just as silly as me running for office. The only thing that's silly is the power of the people's vote. And I think the people should use it to vote for none of the above.
Yes, none of the above. I can see some wisdom in that. Obviously, it's not going to happen. And one of these two guys, either going to be Biden or Trump. I'll tell you, to be honest, I don't like either one of them. I wish we could have somebody else. I wish both parties would come up with somebody else, maybe somebody a little more with it, a little more hip that we could vote for. That would be my wish, but I don't think that wish is going to come true before November. So it's going to be one of those two guys. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
Check out the Box Yard across from T-Mobile Park featuring Hatback Bar and Grill, Steelheads Alley, and Victory Hall. The Box Yard is Soto's premier pre- and post-game destination with delicious bites and brews. For more info, visit mariners.com/boxyard.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dave Ross on Seattle's Morning News.
It was a traffic miracle, and what made this miracle possible was the presence of traffic officers, professionally trained human beings.
Weekdays 6 to 9, streaming live on your smart speaker.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right. I found something really... Have you guys heard of the student loan forgiveness that's happening? They are paying off all these student loans. I was doing the Jack and Spike show last week with... I was filling in for Jack. He was gone. So I was sitting there with Spike, and we were talking about student loans and the government paying off these student loans. Now, I think this is a really interesting topic. It's one that Spike and I disagree with, disagree on a little bit, or quite a bit. But we did agree on one thing. We don't like it when people pay off. Well, I don't like it when the government pays off any student loans, but I certainly don't like it when the government is paying off wealthy people's student loans. And one of the interesting things that is happening right now is you have the Biden administration who's kind of going around touting the fact that they are paying off a bunch of student loans. They're canceling a bunch of interest on student loans and totally forgiving student loans for other people, which, again, you are just giving people money. I don't know why they're not doing that for small businesses. I know they did that during the pandemic with the PPP loans, but still, they are paying off people's college student loans. Now, listen to this, right? And this is another thing I found really interesting, and I'm not sure if this like makes me a conspiracy theorist, but I do find the timing of this rather odd. This is all happening in the middle of an election, which just seems odd to me. This is President Biden talking about when these student loan forgiveness packages will actually kick in. Coincidentally, it's kind of right before the election.
Over the coming months, the Department of Education will propose and then implement these plans. And starting this fall, we plan to deliver up to $20,000 in interest relief to over 20 million borrowers and full forgiveness for millions more.
So, okay. University of Pennsylvania's Wharton's school looked into this, and they did this analysis, and they said, all right, let's look at some of the stuff here. So this week, the Biden administration paid off $7.4 billion in student loans. Now, some of that goes to, and I agree with this one, some of that goes to public servants. So, for instance, in certain areas, you can get, at certain times, teachers are hired and they are told, hey, if you go into the teaching profession and you teach in public school, or you teach at a public university, we will actually forgive your student loan as part of your benefits package. Like someday, if you work long enough, what is it, like 10 years or something, then you will then qualify for having your student loans forgiven, which if that is what's promised to you at the beginning of this, totally get it. I have no issues with that. Do I like it? No, absolutely not. But do I understand it? Yes, I do. So if they're fixing that, which hasn't, you know, if they're fixing that promise and they're actually like fulfilling something that people have already thought that they were going to get, then I think that's totally fine. Here's the thing that I don't like. I don't like when they add other borrowers onto this. So one of the things that I found controversial, and you guys might too, is number one, how much money have they paid off student loans, and how much money in student loan forgiveness have they already paid off? These numbers I find a little bit interesting, kind of staggering. So last week it was $7.4 billion in additional student loans, which then makes the entire cancellation process, canceling of student loans, right now it sits at about $153 billion. Your tax dollars used to make that ledger go to zero. So say somebody has $46,000 in outstanding student loans. That number goes to zero. The thing that I really don't like about this, and the part that I feel like, I don't know if I feel like this is totally fair. This is for people with any, if you've been paying off long enough, and I think it's either 20 or 25 years, if you've been paying your student loans off for either 20 or 25 years, no matter what your income is, you qualify to have your loans completely forgiven. Which doesn't really make sense to me, right? So, like, listen to this. Penn Wharton's school looked into this. They said, we estimate that President Biden recently announced new plans to provide relief to student borrowers will cost $84 billion in addition to the $475 billion that we previously estimated for President Biden's SAVE plan. But that really goes to really needy people, right? Like, that's the question. Actually, 750,000 borrowers are in households that make over, do you want to take a guess at how much money these households are making over? If you think to yourself, like, all right, are they making like minimum wage? No, they're not. Are they making a six-figure salary, like a low six-figure? If you have kids and you make low six figures, that can still be very tight. No, they're not. 750,000 of these households who will be receiving these student loan forgiveness plans, or their student loans will be forgiven, are in households that are making over $312,000. The University of Pennsylvania looked into that. So they, and if you trust the University of Pennsylvania, then I guess you would trust that number. $312,000 is the average household income of 750,000 of the people households who are going to be receiving college loan forgiveness. And then I would just ask, like, does that make sense? If that's the average, that means that a lot of those households are making well beyond $312,000. That's just the average. Vice President Kamala Harris was asked about this, and she says, hey, regardless of income, loans will be completely forgiven.
Your loans will be completely forgiven, regardless of your income, and even if you did not graduate. So I'm going to repeat that. If you've paid undergraduate loans for more than 20 years, or graduate loans for more than 25 years, those loans will be completely forgiven regardless of your income and even if you did not graduate. And forgiveness will be automatic for the vast majority of the 25 million people that we believe will benefit from this approach.
Why would they? Okay, just slow down for a second and let's think about this. You have a household, and this is not even a ridiculous scenario. I guarantee you this scenario exists inside the people whose loans will be forgiven. You have a household of two people who are both doctors. Now, 40%, we know because they've looked into this, 40% of all student loan debt is held by people with advanced degrees. So you're talking about people who have law degrees, you're talking about dentists, you're talking about general practitioners, you're talking about like brain surgeons, advanced degrees, people, you know, college professors, things like that, people who are going to be very hireable and they're going to make good money. And, you know, talk about professors, you're also going to have tenure. So you literally cannot be fired from your job. So they're going to have the money to pay down these loans. But under this plan, after 20 or 25 years, they will just be forgiven. Now, why are we paying off two doctors? If let's say there's a doctor and a lawyer in the house, why are we paying off these very high earning individuals' student loans? They benefited from taking out these very high student loans. I understand that. Like, I'm a person who had a lot of student loans when I graduated from college, and it took me about 7 years to pay them back. And my wife and I made the decision. We looked at those. We said, oh, my gosh. And she was very fortunate, which by the time she finished, she didn't have any more student loans. She graduated college, and that was not something that she had to worry about. But for me, I had a lot of student loans. And so we sat there, and we looked at our bank statements, and we're like, you know what we should do? So we're not paying interest on these things for the next 25 years. Why don't we set aside some money each month and pay a little bit of this down? Pay down the interest, pay them off early, because that's how you pay them off faster. And then they don't get you on the interest on the backside. They just want their money back. But if the longer you take to pay off, the more interest you're going to pay. It's like a home loan. So we made the decision to pay those off. Is it fair that you have a lot of people who just figured out how to pay their student loans off? Is it fair that you might have two doctors who are making over $312,000? We know because the University of Pennsylvania dug into the numbers and they said 750,000 people who receive this loan forgiveness will be in a household that's making more than $312,000 every single year. I think those people can pay their own loans back. And I also understand why somebody who maybe didn't have super high college loan debt when they graduated, or maybe none because they did it a smart way, or maybe they decided not to go to the traditional college route and instead they got into the trades. And maybe that person ends up opening their own business and now they're hiring people and they have a lot of expenses and they've taken on debt to make sure that they have a business that runs. I would much rather give money to those businesses so that those businesses can keep people employed. Like, it doesn't benefit anybody except those doctors who are going to have their student loans forgiven in those 750,000 households. You might disagree with that. And if so, you're totally welcome to. 888-973-5476. Text me if you think the two doctors who make over $312,000 need to have their student loans forgiven. I would be surprised if we get a ton of texts on this, but you might feel very differently. All right, we have a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Kyra Nights.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Jack and Spike Show.
I have rights as a renter. If I don't pay, I need to leave.
I thought the rent moratoriums were for folks who they didn't have the financial means to pay rent. This Correct. Guy's just a squatter.
Noon to 3 on Cairo News Radio.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, I want to play this audio for you really fast because I found this funny. On CNN, you guys know who Jake Tapper is on CNN? Of course you do. He was talking with his panel, and they were discussing the latest Trump trial in Manhattan, and they were talking about the way that law and order works, and Jake Tapper, just kind of out of nowhere, he starts funny enough, he starts quoting the opening, opening monologue, right? Or like the description of what law and order, you know the show Law and Order? Have you ever seen the show Law and Order? I actually haven't seen the show, full disclosure, but Jake Tapper is apparently a huge fan because he knows exactly how the show opens.
If, unless I'm mistaken, in the criminal justice system, the people are represented by separate but equally important groups, the police who investigate crimes and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders.
Hold on a second. Show off. I actually have a newfound respect for this right
Dick
now.
Dick Wolf is going to be calling you.
I'll send him the check.
And it made me think, do you guys have any favorite TV shows that you just went crazy for? It sounds like Jay Tapper is a massive Law & Order fan. For me, the one that immediately jumped out, I was trying to think about, like, all right, what's my favorite shows of all time? What are the ones that I could hear at any time? And it would instantly take me back to that place where I was watching that show. And one of the things that I was reminded of, like when I was a kid, TGIF was a big deal. You guys remember TGIF? It was like every Friday night you'd have, I don't remember exactly what the lineup was, but it was Full House. And then it would have been, after that would have been maybe Family Matters. And then Step by Step, and then I think the last, I have no idea what the last one was, to be honest. I don't think I was allowed to stay up past 9:30 on a Friday night, but this was the opening theme song to TGIF.
It's Friday night, and the mood is right. We're gonna have some fun, show you how it's done, TGIF.
I miss those days. All right, but the TV show, I mean, like, I could sing you the opening song to Full House. I could sing you the opening theme song to Family Matters, which later just became known in my house as Steve Urkel. Probably for everybody, it just became Steve Urkel. So I could sing you those. But the show that as an adult, just like Jake Tapper's obsessed with Law & Order, apparently, the show that as an adult I got super into was Lost. Did you guys ever watch Lost? Lost. Lost is one of those shows that now that I have, you know, I watched the entire series and then I watched the ending, so I know what the I know what the big mystery is. I have not gone back to it since, but recently my wife and I were talking. We're like, we should watch Lost again because it was so pivotal in our dating life. We would watch Lost, like we just got obsessed with the show. It was like in the early 2000s, you know, like what was it, like 2005 to 2010 or something. And so our dating life was as Lost was winding down. So we watched every episode of Lost. Like we, you know, we kind of, it was like the first show that I ever binged and just watched nonstop. And we would have weekends before you had kids when you could do stuff like just like binge all the TV you wanted to. We would just watch Lost episodes all day. We'd be like, all right, one more. How about one more? And before you know, we'd watch like 5, 6, 7 episodes, which is a ridiculous amount of time because they're an hour long each. But it was such a good show. Here's the theme music. They have this piano music that they would play anytime the show got emotional or got like really kind of you know, something momentous was happening on the show, or there was like a character look back and they were talking about something that, you know, made them cry, whatever it was. They would play this music and this takes me back. Like just like Jake Tapper's Law and Order, when I hear this song, this takes me back. And in fact, I'm going to play a minute for you here. You guys watch this show? Isn't that so beautiful? We actually almost got married to this song. This was like we were right there. We were like 99%. Yes, let's get married to this. And then at the last minute, we decided to get married to a more traditional wedding song. And I look back and I go, we should have gotten married to this. This would have been so perfect. If you haven't seen the show, I highly recommend it. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it's very good. Kind of groundbreaking, actually. So check it out if you get a chance. All right, we got a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.